Hello to those tuning in and welcome to today's podcast. My name is Ian Marthinson, Portfolio Strategist at Lysander Funds. One of the biggest investment themes in 2021 has been rising interest rates and the corresponding debate around inflation, whether it be transitory or persistent. We've also had received many questions from investment advisors about the effectiveness of the 60-40 investment portfolio, and if 40% of a client's asset mix should still be allocated to bonds given the current low yield environment and the performance challenges the bond markets have faced so far in 2021. Today, we're going to discuss an asset class that has been thriving so far in 2021, Canadian preferred shares. And joining me to discuss is Doug Grieve. Doug has over 25 years experience in the Canadian preferred share market, both as an institutional trader and a portfolio manager. Doug is also the portfolio manager for the Lysander Slater Preferred Share Dividend Fund and the Lysander Slater Preferred Share Active ETF. Doug, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Doug, Canadian preferred shares have performed very well so far in 2021. Do you think the positive trend in preferred shares can continue?
Yeah, I mean, that's been the topical issue. I mean, I'm getting lots of questions, you know, is there still room to run in these preferred shares? And I always come back to our thesis, which I think today still holds up. And therefore, I still like the asset class, certainly. You know, point number one is inflation is very topical. We believe that there is inflation going on around us. And we feel that that will fuel higher yields. So preferred shares, primarily our makeup in our funds is made up of discounted fixed reset preferred shares that recent history has shown to do well as rates go higher. So that's point number one. The second point, and we've talked about this in the past, is the supply of preferred shares. With the introduction of the LRCN, we've seen redemptions in our space, reducing our supply. So, you know, the way I think of it is our asset class is in favor, performing well, and we're actually losing supply. So, you know, as you know, from supply and demand, that just pushes the prices higher, which I must add, that's a good thing if you're an investor in preferred shares. If there's a shortage of supply, the demand is strong, that just means great performance.
Yeah, Doug, you certainly can't talk about preferred shares without mentioning the LRCN or the Limited Recourse Capital Note. In fact, when we last spoke with you in Q4 of 2020 on a podcast, you mentioned that LRCNs were a game changer. Do you believe that LRCNs have in fact changed the game for preferred share investors?
You know, I think they have. You know, when we first talked about it, there was just two or three of them. Now it's an over $10 billion asset class. And interestingly enough, our preferred share market has reduced about $10 billion. So what's happening is that you have the banks now have an alternative equity financing, tier one financing that, they can use as a vehicle to raise money in lieu of preferred shares. And in fact, they can do it at prices that are cheaper for issuance. So, you know, the implication and why it's such a game changer is to simply our product is getting redeemed. Our market's down $10 billion. LRCN market is now over $10
billion. Yeah, so you mentioned that the supply is shrinking and they're shrinking because companies that have traditionally issued preferred shares are now reissuing LRCNs. But when those issuers call those preferred shares, they have to call them at par. And when you look at the composition of the preferred share market today, there's a lot of preferred shares that are trading in and around par and some that are trading at discounts. And you mentioned that you like the ones trading at discounts. But are there more opportunity in one versus the other?
It's a great question, Ian. We always look at it from a valuation standpoint. I mean, I wouldn't say that I definitely just buy one because it's at a discount versus another. But because we see the market as recovering, the discounted preferred shares have no call risk. So, you know, if the market is doing well, the ones that are at or above par are at risk of being redeemed, which we've seen a lot of. But the discount ones, there's no call risk. If there's an appeal for them or they want to be redeemed, they actually have to run them up to the par value. So there's a built-in opportunity for capital gain. So, but we need to take a step back. Not all discounted resets are a must buy. We want to like the credit, and we also want to be comfortable with the specific spread built in and the timing of when these discounted preferred shares in the reset space, at what time they actually reset. So there's a little bit of, you know, I wouldn't say it's complex, but there's a little bit of legwork to really understand good value. But if they're at a discount and the market continues to recover, that means capital gain opportunity. And that's what we've been seeing over the last several quarters.
Are there other types of preferred shares that you like? We talk about discounted fixed resets, but what about floaters or perpetuals?
I mean, we have exposure to perpetuals and floaters. What's interesting me of late is the floaters. Floaters trade off the very short end of the bond curve, whether it's Canadian prime or 90-day T-bills. So we think, you know, as the inflation story continues to unfold, the Bank of Canada will eventually start raising rates. And that's favorable on the short end, which would mean, you know, floaters would be probably the outperformer. We have a 2% weighting in floaters, and we're probably looking to move that up to 5% over the course of the next few weeks. I mean, even though we don't think short-term rates are going to rise immediately, we all know, and in my experience, is that when rates, you know, when they're committed to raising the rates, the floaters, the cheap price of the floaters is long gone. So you got to be early if you want to get that capital gain opportunity in the floaters.
Right. So you mentioned a lot, you talk about how your positioning is very geared to higher interest rates, and you mentioned inflation was a catalyst. Is the thesis for preferred shares solely tied to higher rates? What if rates were, like, say, grind sideways for a little while? Is there still opportunity, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on how you want to create or have a makeup in your funds based on your expectations. I mean, it is a volatile asset class that is illiquid. You know, if I was in a deflationary camp, I would have a commitment to a number of more perpetuals that would perform well, kind of like long-term bonds. But today, you know, it's difficult, but we're in a bit of a tight space in terms of we do have to actually make an interest rate call. And this market has suffered in the past from deflation. It still actually, I think, has room to do well in an inflationary environment. And, you know, that's what we believe will unfold over the next few quarters. So you can do well in both environments, but, you know, this is really the wind behind our backs. You know, inflation, preferred shares overall tend to do well.
That's great. Doug, a popular topic of debate amongst investors is that of active versus passive management. As an active manager, what do you feel is the key benefit that you offer to investors over, say, a passive option?
Yeah, it's a good question, certainly, because this has been a great active managers market. Sometimes when you're not really certain, you know, how things are unfolding with respect to the economy, it's tricky. But we've had such a watershed, you know, moment with respect to the pandemic. You know, literally the economy's, you know, stalled right out. It's just so clear to me anyhow that, you know, the only direction really from post-pandemic is eventually economies, you know, opening up and growing, and we will, you know, will see the unfolding of prosperity in the economy. The question really, I think, is timing. Is this going to take, you know, 6 months, a year, 2, 3 years? And that's the tricky part. But generally, it's heading in the right direction. So it being active has allowed us to evaluate preferred shares. And what we've done is cycled them. You know, if we buy a discounted reset, it achieves a par value or goes above, we can cycle out of it and find best value in, you know, resets that may show well but are still at a discount. And you know, it keeps the game going with respect to capital gains. I mean, as I mentioned, we're up over 23% this year. You know, does it stall out? Or if we stay active, we think we can continue to find those gems that will prolong this great bull run in the pref space.
And going back to the debate around the 60-40 investment portfolio, how would you recommend that investors include preferred shares in their asset mixes?
Well, I mean, traditional fixed income, certainly long duration, tends to not do well if rates are climbing. So I think when you look at that basic model, I think it's considering a, you know, if you're in that inflationary camp and you expect higher rates, I think a commitment to, and I would really play into probably the fixed income side, to, you know, sort of taking a little bit away from fixed income and put, you know, 10, maybe even 15% in preferred shares as a, you know, a fixed income alternative. You know, there's not a lot of asset classes that are tax efficient, offer tremendous yield, and are defensive in an environment where rates may rise. So we pound the table a little bit here and say, you know, look, have some exposure to preferred shares. It's a hedge against rising rates. In the meantime, you get great tax efficient yield.
That's great, Doug. Those are all great thoughts. Want to thank you for your time today. Also want to thank everyone who's tuned in and remind them to learn more information about Doug's process and the funds that he manages. Please reach out to the Lysander Funds sales team. The contact information can be found on our website, www.lysanderfunds.com. I also want to thank again Doug for joining us today.
Thanks, Ian. That was great.
This podcast was recorded Thursday, June 22nd, 2021. This podcast was given by Ian Martinson, portfolio strategist, Lysander Funds Limited, referred to as Lysander, and Doug Grieve, founder, president, and portfolio manager, Slater Asset Management, Inc., referred to as Slater. This podcast has been prepared by Lysander solely for information purposes. Information in this presentation is not intended to constitute legal, tax, securities, or investment advice, and is made available on an as-is basis. Lysander does not make any warranty or representation regarding the information herein. Information in this presentation is subject to change without notice. Lysander does not assume any duty to update any information herein. Lysander is the investment fund manager of Lysander Slater Preferred Share Dividend Fund and the Lysander Slater Preferred Share Active ETF, referred to as the funds. Slater is the portfolio manager of the funds. Commissions, trailing commissions, management fees, and expenses all may be associated with fund investments. Please read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. You will usually pay brokerage fees to your dealer if you purchase or sell units of the ETF on the Toronto Stock Exchange, referred to as TSX. If the units are purchased or sold on the TSX, investors may pay more than the current net asset value when buying units of the ETF and may receive less than the current net asset value when selling them. Nothing in this podcast should be considered a recommendation to buy, sell, or short a particular security. Any specific securities or positions discussed are intended as an illustration of the portfolio manager selection process. The portfolio manager may sell these positions at any time, or purchase positions that have previously been sold. The positions may increase or decrease in value after the date hereof, and the portfolios that hold such positions may accordingly gain or lose money on the investment. The statements by the portfolio manager and its commentaries are intended to illustrate its approach in managing the portfolios and should not be relied upon for any other purpose. This podcast may contain forward-looking statements. Statements concerning a fund or entity's objectives, goals, strategies, intentions, plans, beliefs, expectations, and estimates in the business, operations, financial performance, and condition are forward-looking statements. The words believe, expect, anticipate, estimate, intend, may, will, would, and similar expressions, and the negative of such expressions, are intended to identify forward-looking statements, although not all forward-looking statements contain these identifying words. These forward-looking statements are subject to important risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from current expectations. While Lysander considers these risks and uncertainties to be reasonable based on information currently available, they may prove to be incorrect. The information in this presentation is subject to change without notice. Lysander does not assume any duty to update any of the information. Lysander Funds is a registered trademark of Lysander Funds Limited.